Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of the Aviation Industry Update. Today, the Knowledge Driven Podcast has the pleasure of being joined yet again by Bob Brents and Michael Wells. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Thanks, Cameron. Hi, I'm Bob Brents. I'm an aerospace and systems engineer working in the Aerospace Design Requirements and Testing Group within the MITRE Corporation's Center for Advanced Aviation System Development.
And I'm Michael Wells. I'm an economist, and I work in the Transportation Innovation Center here at the MITRE Corporation.
Fantastic to have you both. The last time we talked, the effects of COVID-19 on aviation was one of the major topics. Have things changed since our last aviation industry update with respect to COVID?
Yeah, great question, Cameron. Since the last aviation industry update, I think the number one story with respect to COVID-19 is the fact that we have vaccines. In December, the FDA approved emergency use of two vaccines in the U.S., one by Pfizer and the other by Moderna. The challenge for the aviation industry is now distributing the vaccines where and when they are needed. It definitely presents a substantial logistical challenge, as these vaccines are very valuable and also require special handling.
Yeah, maybe you can speak a little more to what that logistical challenge really is like, because I know each vaccine has its own special things going on.
Yeah, that's right, Cameron. So, first there's a need to ensure that the shipping containers and aircraft are in the right place at the right time with minimal delays. Now, that might kind of seem like a trivial problem, but in normal logistics, right, kind of when airlines ship everything, you know, that they always do, no one pays much attention to the shipping containers if they sit around in a warehouse maybe until their next flight. But these are very special shipping containers and a very special cargo. On top of that, there are additional security requirements that need to be taken into consideration because the vaccines are actually quite valuable on the black market, as you might imagine. And finally, of course, as I think you were getting at, Cameron, there's the challenge of keeping these vaccines at a temperature where they don't degrade. They have to be maintained at the right temperature from the factory all the way to the clinic. And Pfizer's vaccine is particularly difficult in this regard. It actually needs to be stored at minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, those sound like some really daunting requirements. How is the industry keeping up with all this?
This truly is an example of it takes a village. In addition to the local distribution chain, the FAA, the airlines, and airports are all working together to address the challenges of distributing these vaccines. Now, so for years, like the FAA has had a limit to the amount of dry ice that can be carried on an airliner. But the Pfizer vaccine, for example, must be shipped in dry ice. So for the COVID-19 vaccine, the FAA is allowing airlines to carry considerably more dry ice than previously allowed. The FAA is also ensuring the availability of air traffic services and prioritizing flights carrying vaccine doses.
And so what is the role of the airlines in all of this?
Well, FedEx and UPS are the two main operators that are sharing domestic distribution of the vaccines. And coordinating with the federal government, they've basically agreed to literally divide the country in half. So FedEx is delivering vaccines to the western half of the country, while UPS is covering the eastern half. But both of these shippers are using high-tech tracking devices to monitor the shipping containers of the vaccine. They have built-in systems, essentially, that detect motion, exposure to light, the temperature, and also, kind of track the location of the shipping container. So they'll know if something's gone wrong along the way so that, you know, the vaccine hasn't gotten to a temperature that it wasn't supposed to be at. Now, while FedEx and UPS have responsibility for the vaccine distribution in the U.S., which is a major undertaking, there's actually other U.S. airlines like Delta, United, American, have also been shipping the vaccines in some of these kind of longer distance trunk routes, just getting it from major point A to major point B.
So I understand air travel itself is in its own little quagmire, but how are the vaccines impacting air travel? Is this expected to help ease some travel restrictions or maybe some international travel restrictions we've been hearing about?
Good question, Cameron. Of course, once the coronavirus is no longer a threat, both domestic and international travel should begin to open up. Currently, though, most countries still have a number of restrictions on travel to or from other countries. And sometimes travel is prohibited, and other times a quarantine is required upon arrival. Now, some of these restrictions could potentially be relaxed, though, if arriving passengers could provide some kind of proof of vaccination or proof of a negative result on a COVID test prior to their departure. If such allowances are made, however, these test results or vaccinations would need to be verifiable to be useful.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about traveling, but I'd certainly feel better traveling if I knew it was safe. How would you verify vaccines, though, especially when I imagine that it must be so difficult to keep track of the different documents and everything that individual countries probably need?
Yeah, Cameron, that's definitely an issue. So actually, one solution that's kind of being tested is the idea of kind of a, what they call a health passport app for mobile devices. There's a couple different, a number of different apps that are kind of in the final phase of development. One that I can think of is called Common Path. It's a health passport being developed by this nonprofit consortium called the Commons Project. And the International Air Transport Association, IATA, is also working on one, which they call the IATA Travel Pass.
Yeah, I always hear about all these different apps, and they all sound really cool, but I never really get a feeling for how they're supposed to work or what kind of data goes into them.
Well, so, Cameron, these apps are designed to accept verified test or vaccination results, right? This is kind of important because it allows national and international authorities to know that, that the health assessment or vaccination date is real and not counterfeit. Now, some of the apps also provide information you need related to your itinerary. For example, Michael mentioned the IATA Travel Pass. It's linked to IATA's database of up-to-date country-specific travel requirements. Now, of course, these apps function as a standard reporting format for vaccination and test results. Now, this is important so that local and national authorities in any participating country will be able to interpret the information provided by the app and have confidence in its validity.
I always think that's so cool how we're applying technology and all these tools to help with dealing with not just distribution of vaccines, but the virus as a whole. So that's really cool to hear. All right, this is going to sound like a bit of a weird segue, but I listened to the news a lot and heard our old friend, the Boeing 737 Supermax, is returning to service. I was curious if you guys wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, certainly. As you said, Cameron, it was about 2 years ago that the Max was grounded by the FAA and other aviation regulators around the world, basically due to safety concerns with primarily with one of the automation systems on the aircraft. Like I said, after nearly 2 years, in November, the FAA finally gave the go-ahead for the aircraft to return to service as long as a number of changes are made. So like some of those changes are on the aircraft side, for example, namely that new flight control software needs to be installed basically on every single 737 MAX aircraft before that specific aircraft is approved for flight. And then other changes are required on the airline side, principally for the pilots that would be flying the aircraft. Each of those pilots needs to take newly required training in a flight simulator, basically prior to beginning to fly the aircraft.
That sounds like good news for Boeing and probably its customers. But I'm really curious to see if those customers who actually bought these planes are eager to get them. I mean, the pandemic has really been slowing down travel, right?
Absolutely, Cameron. But a number of airline customers are, in fact, taking delivery of the aircraft that have been parked in Seattle and elsewhere waiting to be shipped. But there's also been a lot of canceled orders, too. Boeing's end-of-year total for aircraft orders stood at just over negative 500 aircraft. Think about that, which reflects a lot of canceled orders in 2020. Now, we can compare this to a similar type of aircraft, the A320 and A321 series from Airbus, which had just over 200 orders on the plus side last year.
But it's also important to put this in some context, Cameron. So Boeing actually still has a backlog of over 3,000 of the 737 MAX on order. And so that, would suggest that there's a long-term demand or long-term confidence in the aircraft from airline buyers. But as you said, the pandemic is still going on. And it's just that some airlines at this particular moment are actually kind of looking for a way not to take immediate delivery of new aircraft. That's not true for every airline, of course. But there's depending on their individual financial conditions, they may be wanting to not take delivery right now, even though they had agreed to it. So what happens is that, the general consensus in the industry is that a lot of customers are using the kind of the escape clauses in the their purchase contracts for the 737 MAX. Because it was delayed, they're actually allowed to back out of the contract. And so for Boeing customers, a number of them have just basically simply taken advantage of this. But, again, the conventional wisdom seems to be that, once the pandemic is behind us, that the 737 MAX will likely again be on a competitive footing with similar aircraft such as the A320 and A321.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for this update. Unfortunately, I think we're about out of time. I want to thank you both for sharing what's happening with the aviation industry with our listeners. I obviously want to thank MITRE and the Knowledge Driven Enterprise for making this podcast possible so that we can get all this really cool information out there. And of course, I look forward to talking to you guys in the next few months when we get our next update.
Thanks, Cameron. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, Cameron, very much. Appreciate it.